This is Tyler and Shay. Tyler and Shay. I know you're going to dig this. On Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago. Chicago. Always streaming on the ESPN Chicago app.
Check this out.
Good morning and welcome on in. It's Shay and Tyler here on ESPN 1000. Also, you can watch the show on YouTube as well. Take it on the go with the ESPN Chicago app. Download that ESPN Chicago app. And Shay, it is another season in the books for the Chicago Bulls. And this may have been the biggest waste of time
season. I was told they were going to run right over the Heat with no Jimmy Butler. What happened?
Last night was the perfect microcosm of the season. Perfect. Like, you could not draw it up any better.
Tease you just a little bit, make you feel like they might have a chance of doing something, you know, getting into the playoffs to get killed by Boston.
And it was a hospice game on Wednesday. Hospice game, as I declared it.
Instead, they lose to the Hospital Heat. Not just lose, either. They got massacred by the Hospital Heat.
Run out of an empty gym. By the way, I mean, that's another little side.
What an embarrassment that fan base is.
Unbelievable. And I get there's better things to do in Miami on a Friday night at 7 o'clock. But, oh boy, like, that was bad. But the way that the Bulls season just sort of fizzled there at the end, like, they had no business losing last night. This was the totality of their season. They go out, impress you a little bit, make a little bit of a stretch of like, oh, maybe the Bulls are all right. The Bulls have some impressive wins so far this season. But then last night in the play-in game to actually get into the playoffs, and they laid one of the biggest eggs I've ever seen. I mean, it was one of the most embarrassing games I've watched as a Bulls fan. It really is, because sure.
Yeah.
Were they going to go out and get run out of the gym by Boston? Absolutely. Like, that Boston team won the Eastern Conference one seed by, was it 14 games?
Yeah.
It's the most since the 92 Bulls. Like, this Bulls team had no chance against Boston. But I would have liked to still see them show that they can get into that next level. And again, I think largely yesterday's loss, I wasn't going to be mad either way. I wasn't going to be mad that the Bulls didn't get into the actual playoffs. I wasn't going to be mad if they did get in and not have a chance at the lottery. Either way, I was going to be largely unmoved because I knew what was going to be coming out of that playoff series. But it's just now it's this repeated cycle of you don't enter the tax, you don't put out a roster that's competitive enough to actually give yourself a chance to go out and win something of actual substance in the easier of the two conferences, might I add. And on top of that, like, we see it in this city with two teams, the Chicago Bulls and the Chicago White Sox. And the White Sox have egg on their face yesterday, too, and this whole season as well. They got shut out for the seventh time. It's the most through the first 20 games of a season since at least 1901. And I love the qualifier of at least.
Yeah, because they didn't track the shutout.
They didn't track them.
Dude, it's unbelievable. I mean, we don't even have to say the thing that the two teams have in common, the Bulls and the White Sox. We know. But it is like, you look at the Bulls, and it's been a decade of just mediocrity fed to Bulls fans. And you look at the White Sox, and it's kind of the same thing. Outside of the one season with Tony La Russa and the playoff berth in the COVID year, it's just been mediocrity fed to the fan base. And the common thread is you have a Bulls team that's paid the luxury tax one time. The only times they were good were when somebody else had to pick a player in front of Michael Jordan and you lucked into Derrick Rose. Mm-hmm. Other than that, this ownership group has put out mediocrity at best, terrible team at worst. And on the White Sox side of things, one of two franchises left in baseball that hasn't spent $100 million on a player. And you get what you get. You look down, I mean, the highest paid player on the team in history is Andrew Benintendi, position player. He's terrible.
Yeah, you don't need to say much about him. Like,
the whole team is terrible.
Right.
I'm looking through the lineup yesterday. I'm doing Sox pre and post here at the station, and I'm going through the lineup. They had three starters who were hitting north of 200. That's it. Three starters hitting north of 200. Man, I don't care about batting average, but my God. Then you look at the Bulls getting run off the floor by the hospital heat. I mean, if you're the owner of that team and you watch those two games last night and you think that this is okay, what you are offering to your fans, the people who spend their time and their energy and their money on consuming these products, boy, that is not a great look.
And listen, like, unfortunately, the people are going to continue to show up, at least on the Bulls side of things, because there is a storied history with the Chicago Bulls. White Sox, I'm not so sure. But at this point, I mean, it really is a brass knuckle backhand slap that Jerry Reinsdorf is giving the fans of Chicago. It really is. Because you look at the way that he treats both of these franchises. This is one of the greatest sports cities in the entire country. I mean, just look at the way that they showed up for their Bulls on Wednesday for a game that largely, in the grand scheme of things, meant absolutely nothing. They showed up like it was a true playoff game. They treated it like it was a true playoff game. And that's why I was a part of that crowd, and I walked out of that building feeling a little sad, despite the fact that they won.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that it was one of the best sports atmospheres I've been in the last 5 to 10 years, I walked out of that building feeling sad because I know what it's like when that place is right. And when the United Center is right, there is no venue in America like it. None.
It makes me sad, man, because, like, the fans in this town deserve so much better. And, like, I know I'm not from here, but this is my home. I've been here for half a decade. This is where I've decided to, like, kind of plant my roots in my life. This is my home now. And I want good sports teams. I want the fans in this town to have good sports teams. Like, you should be able to see that. I see Cubs fans chanting Caleb Williams in the bleachers.
Mm-hmm.
Look at what this town will do if you give them a morsel to be excited about. And you have the Bulls and the White Sox, I would argue, two of the five most directionless, hopeless futures in all of American sports. The White Sox, certainly.
Oh, yeah.
I firmly believe that is the most hopeless situation over the next decade in all of American sports. The Bulls, I don't know how you make it better if you can't get rid of Zach LaVine. You don't want to go into the tax. When you do get good players, you don't want to support them. You don't get the lottery pick high enough to make a difference. This year it wouldn't matter because the draft is so horrible.
Yeah, the one year you actually have a first-round pick, oh, it's just probably the worst draft class of all time.
But it's just the idea that, like, at some level we have lost the necessary accountability for ownership in sports. And I'm not just talking about Jerry Reinsdorf. It happens in markets all over the country. Ask A's fans.
Mm-hmm.
Ask fans in Detroit for years. Ask fans in Kansas City who are Royals fans. Like, anybody will tell you, any market, there are bad owners. But the idea that here we're going to get peddled two teams that are this bad and have no visible bright future at all. Like, the White Sox, I think, is a 10-year problem. The Bulls,
yeah.
It's been a 10-year problem. I don't see how it changes. The idea that they're also asking for public money to build a stadium in the 78, and he's going to move the teams to a cable channel nobody gets while peddling nothing. I got news, man. The way the other teams in this town are set up, the Bears getting Caleb Williams, the Cubs got some promising young players in their system. They're already off to a hot start.
Yeah.
We feel like the Bears are going to be good. You got the Blackhawks with Connor Bedard, and then the Sky go and get Angel Reese and Camila Cardoso. I'm not telling you that the Sky are going to be more popular than the Bulls, but people are really going to stop caring if there are four other good options and you're going to peddle garbage on the south side and west side.
It really is a joke. Like it's gotten to the point now where you laid it out like the pulse of the city right now. Every team not owned by Jerry Reinsdorf is on an upward trajectory right now. The Cubs are looking like they're a playoff team this year. Maybe could even win a playoff series. The Bears could be a 10-plus win team this year if things go right with the quarterback. You've got a women's basketball team that made a lot of splash in the draft. You've got a hockey team who, by the way, occupies the same building that your basketball team does, Jerry Reinsdorf. And that hockey team has maybe the brightest star in the entire city in terms of level of stardom that they could reach. Like, all of this put together, this should be a buzz in sports town. Like, remember, what was it? It was last year, maybe 2 years ago. We were going through the worst calendar year of Chicago professional sports ever.
Did the Bears as a three-win team. The White Sox were a disaster, supposed to be good and awful.
Cubs were bad. Bulls were bad.
Fake playoff thing. Like, it was horrible. And now, it feels like we're on the other side. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. We have four teams to be excited about. But these two, man, and it's the only thread you can even point to anymore. Like, you can eject Pedro Grifol on the south side. What's it going to do? I don't care who you get to manage that team. It's going to be bad.
Listen, I think it kind of works the same way with the Bulls front office as well. Like, AK is no Bob Myers. No one will ever confuse him for that. AK is no great GM. But he's also not the biggest issue with the franchise.
Of course not, because you know what?
He's not you can say, the Bulls haven't gone out and made a trade in 30 months or whatever that number is now. You think it's because AK doesn't want, you think he wants to just sit there on his hands? I don't think any reasonable person can look at this team and say continuity, that's the way.
But even if even if that's his prerogative and he wants to sit on his hands and he thinks continuity's the best way to go, any serious owner in this country would have launched that guy a year and a half ago. They would have never let him go through a trade deadline two seasons ago. Forget an offseason. So even if it is AK's prerogative to do that, somebody is allowing it. Mm-hmm. Somebody is saying this is acceptable and this is okay. We don't need to make trades. We don't need to spend on free agents. We don't need to hit our draft picks. Lord knows they haven't. Like, I'm glad Kobe White's coming on, but wake me up when Patrick Williams does something. Like, it just bothers me, man, this whole thing. And, like, I get the Blackhawks stink. I get they have a ways to go. But I can believe in it because I can see the process. Mm-hmm. And I know you have Connor Bedard. And I feel like you're building something that can be real. The Bulls, if they made the playoffs, I'm sorry, I don't care. Because it's fake. You're only making it because the NBA decided to expand this thing ridiculously. And now we've got losing teams playing each other for a right to get murdered in the first round. That's not real, because you have DeMar DeRozan, who now you're stuck having to pay, or you'll lose him for nothing. It's not real. It's entirely fake. And the White Sox, there's no direction at all.
No.
So it just sucks, man. Honestly, it pisses me off. The fans in this town deserve so much better than they're given by these two teams.
And it's, I don't know how you can look at both of those teams, see the turnstiles click like they do at the United Center, see the way that this fan base showed up, and say, you know what? I don't want this environment for 6 to 10 more games a year. I don't. I'd rather just have this one little play-in game, give this one little morsel of hope that the NBA has served up for me on a platter, and said, this is how we're going to do business. We're going to go be stagnant. We've paid a lot of the wrong people, too, by the way. Listen, AK deserves some blame. Grifol deserves some blame. But it's not like you could just stick anyone in there and things would change. It's not. There is so much more that eats away at both of those teams, and it all starts with the man who owns them. It is a cultural thing. Is there any general... I get that there's only 30 of these jobs. Who really wants to run the Bulls? Seriously. Like, let's say... And AK is supposed to meet the media at 2 o'clock today. Let's say he gets launched. Him and Eversley, clear out your offices. How many people really want this job? Like, what is the enticing thing of taking over the Chicago Bulls?
Well, and here's the sad fact, too. Like, I know Sylvie's got his wet dream about Bob Myers. And
that ain't happening.
Bob Myers, he could come run the team. Hey, you're going to have the same handcuffs every other GM has had. Like, they're not suddenly going to start spending crazy money and going into the luxury tax every year, which is what Bob Myers had in Golden State.
Yep.
So if you think you're getting the same,
and even that ran its course in Golden State.
They're not going to pay the tax next year. Like, they're at a point now where they're not doing, like, it's just not going to happen here. And I'm sorry, do I trust this guy to do a search after getting Rick Hahn and Kenny Williams out on the south side and, like, 2 days later promoting a guy from within the organization? I'm not telling you Chris Getz is going to be some horrible GM. Jury's out. He's still got to finish his teardown. but I feel like you could have searched a little harder.
Yeah. He searched on, you know, the phrase, leave no stone unturned. He flipped one stone. That's it on the White Sox search. And I don't even want to know what a Bulls search is going to look like.
Did he pick up the phone?
Like, it seemed like things were moving in the right direction when AK and Eversley came in. But boy, has that gone south quickly. And remember how active AK was when he first got here. Launched Jim Boylan. Made the trade for Vooch. Hired Billy Donovan. Like, those were the way that the momentum was building with the Bulls. It felt like there was some direction. You went out, signed Lonzo. You signed DeMar. You signed Caruso in that first offseason. It felt like there was real momentum. But I don't know if Jerry said you're allowed to make 15 moves as general manager, and if things aren't pointing in the right direction, I'm cutting off the water. Because that's what it sure looks like. Because AK was active when he started here. He was. And sure, some of the moves weren't the right moves. The Vooch move is maybe one of the worst trades we've ever seen in this city.
Yeah.
I mean, he is atrocious.
But at least he was swinging. I wonder if a part of it is, like, you made the move for Lonzo, it didn't work out, but it started so positive, and you felt like, boy, if we can just get this guy healthy, we're cooking with gas. The Vooch trade didn't work out. Like, is it paralysis by moves that didn't work? You drafted Patrick Williams. That didn't work out. Is all of these things went badly, and now they're paralyzed to do anything because everything they do is bad?
Well, it feels very Ryan Pace-ish to a degree. Like, Ryan Pace, when he took over the Bears, he came out swinging, made all these moves, was trading all these picks, was just moving and shaking all the time. And then all of a sudden, all of the trades started to slowly blow up in his face, and then he was gone. But right now, AK is still here. And
do you feel like he's going to get fired? Because I don't.
I don't either.
I really think these results are acceptable to that organization. And that's the part that really makes me sad. I'm telling you, any serious organization in America would have launched that guy a year ago.
There's two things that could make me think we could see AK get fired. And it is the amount of dead money that's sitting around, not producing for the franchise. And that is Zach LaVine and Lonzo Ball. And those are the two, like, Jerry is paying those guys handsomely to not even show up to the games, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, they weren't there on Wednesday and Friday. So he is paying those two guys a crap ton of money to do nothing. And I think that could be the thing that eats at Jerry enough to say, all right, this is it. You're gone. I think that's the one sliver of hope. Outside of that, I don't think I'm with you. I would say if he made me pin a percentage on it, I'd say 70% chance he's back, 30% chance he's gone.
70% he's back is gross, man.
It is.
That's just gross. Like, if I just show up to work and I don't do my job, I get fired.
But that's the thing. You don't even need to show up to your job. Zach and Lonzo haven't shown up to their job. I mean, Lonzo hasn't shown up in over 2 years.
Yeah, but those guys can't get fired. I'm talking about AK. Like, AK was active. He's not anymore. If I show up and I start doing things and all of those things go badly, and so for the next 3 years, I just sit in the chair there and never turn the microphone on. I don't offer any content. I'm just here to answer a phone. I'm getting canned.
He's quiet quit. That's what it feels like. I mean, maybe is that what he's trying to do? He's trying to get fired.
He's like, please fire me, Jerry. I don't want to be here
anymore.
Instead,
Jerry is holding him hostage and says, you know what? You have to actually be the president of this basketball franchise. 312-332-3776. We'll take more of your phone calls when we come back. Tyler Rocky, Shay Norling with you on ESPN 1000.
This is Tyler and Shay.
Tyler and Shay.
I know you're going to dig this.
On Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago.
Disaster at the UC last night. Actually, not at the UC, down in Miami, but for the team that plays at the UC. Disaster for the White Sox last night. The most directionless teams in this city right now, the Chicago Bulls and the Chicago White Sox. We're talking about it with you. here on ESPN 1000. You want to join us? 312-332-3776. Rich on the south side. What's up, Rich?
Yeah, I just wanted to comment. I remember in 89, they had there were four games out. They traded Wilson Alvarez and three other players, I believe, and said they didn't stand a chance, and they tanked it. Then 2 years later, they got a new stadium. Now I believe Reinsdorf is kind of doing the same thing, and I guarantee you the city will fold, and they will pay. Well, us taxpayers will pay for that and expect mediocrity. That's really – you had the 1 year in 05. That's it. I mean, really, oh, yeah, they got in the playoffs. But this is a big major town. Why does L.A., New York, and all those other teams constantly put out winners, and yet we seem to not be able to? It's ownership all day.
Well, Rich, and that's my biggest issue with it is I don't know how we got to this point where owners in this country get to take public money to build playgrounds, and somehow they have less accountability than they ever did before.
Like once the envelopes – the envelopes fly downtown. I hate to say that, but that's how I feel about it.
It just, it's insane to me that they ask not only for your time and your passion and your admittance to get into stadiums and the money you spend on merch, but they're also asking for public dollars to build a stadium, and there is zero accountability for the product. I think we're living in a day and age now where if you're going to peddle garbage, because the fact is this, sports is an entertainment product.
Yeah.
And if what you're offering me is not entertaining, I got a billion other ways to entertain myself. So I feel like you want to take money out of my pocket to build your stadium and put some garbage on the field. Best of luck to you. I'm not showing up. I don't have time for it. I don't have time to consume something that makes me angry or makes me sad or is pathetic. And I've painted the picture. Like, I don't see any hope for the White Sox, new stadium or otherwise. You've got a team where you will not spend money. You've never given a player a $100 million contract. Only two franchises in the sport can say that, you and the Oakland A's. Nobody's holding up the A's as some model franchise right now.
They're the other punching bag of baseball.
Right, as they temp move to Sacramento because the Vegas thing is falling through. You hired a general manager with no outside search. You're the worst team in baseball and on pace to be one of the worst teams in baseball history before really even the rebuild has started. And the coup de grace, you can't get a pick higher than 10 because you won the lottery last year. So you look at all of the ways this is shaping up. I don't know how it gets better. And they want to ask the public for money to build a stadium? The balls that you got to have to be feeding us this product and asking for that? I don't know where the accountability got lost.
Can you imagine if the public money for the stadium was put on a ballot in this city? The laughing stock of the average Chicagoan going to the polls, seeing that, and saying, oh, Jerry wants money for it. Like, I would laugh. I would laugh in the town hall or wherever the hell I'd go to vote. Like, I would be laughing my ass off if I ever saw that on a ballot. That would be the fastest vote no of my entire life. The fastest.
I look at Kansas City. They voted no when they get good teams.
Yeah. It's unbelievable. 312-332-3776. Kevin's in Homewood. What's up, Kevin?
Yeah, thanks for letting us air our grievances this morning. This is rough because I'm a lifelong Bulls fan, and I've always loved baseball. I flip-flop between Cubs and Sox since I was a kid. I would play against myself with one of those little pitchbacks. I don't know if you remember throwing a ball at a pitchback.
Yeah.
And it would be Cubs versus Sox World Series, and I would always trade off who would win. So where I'm getting to this is that I have a 9-year-old daughter, and I grew up with the Bulls and loving baseball because we had teams that won. And it's generational. We've had, 26 years now going on since the Bulls won their last championship. And it's embarrassing to turn on a Bulls game when your 9-year-old says, Dad, are they going to lose again? And we think about, getting our families and time and doing things together that we enjoy doing. And we spend our money, too. And I'm looking at all these other teams and cities that have winning teams that they continue to reinvest in themselves to be winners. And if the Bulls and the Sox and the Reinsdorf family and all the ownership feel that they're not making enough money. How much more money would they be making if they continually made the playoffs, continually had merchandise that people would want to buy, and fill their stadiums up? And I'm at the point where last night, during the third quarter, I went upstairs and cleaned the cat box because that was more important to me so I could have time with my family today instead of doing all the chores today. So they're losing fans. We went to 11 Sox games in 2021 when they were winning, and we haven't bought one ticket for the Sox or the Bulls in the last 3 years. That's the kind of message that I can personally send to them. And we looked at the schedule this year. They had $4.15 tickets at the Sox Park for their April 15th tax day sale. Not worth it. Yeah. So I'm at the point where I'm sure a lot of other people feel, and it is something to do and fun to go do with family and stuff. I mean, there's still the pull to want to go there, but I'm pumping the brakes because then we have to drop another $60 to $120 to $150 bucks on concessions that they don't deserve.
Yeah. Kevin, it's a fair stance, and I appreciate your phone call there. Problem is, the Bulls, number one in attendance again this year, yep. Top five in merchandise sales.
Yeah.
The thing that Michael Jordan did to this city is he made it a basketball town. This city loves their Bulls like none other. And for as great as MJ was, the fact that the after effects are still there is kind of holding back the franchise at this point.
Yeah, I wonder if that's going to be the case in Golden State as this dies down too, because everybody holds them up as the model of spending a lot of money, being willing to spend for championships. But it is kind of just the nature of sports. Once you get that valuation, you don't really have to try anymore. I do think that the statute of limitations on living off the Michael Jordan championship DVDs is running out. It's been long enough. It's been since Derrick Rose that this team has been a nothing burger. So yeah. I do wonder how much longer this fan base will accept what they're being given.
Right, because like Derrick Rose is like the last morsel of Bulls goodness that we've had in the city. It's like the last time we've really had a winner to root for. And even though he never won anything of, like, he never even won the Eastern Conference, but it was fun to watch a guy that you knew gave you a chance. And those teams, even though they never won anything of substance, are still my favorite teams of my lifetime in this city, more so than any of the Cubs teams. Like, those teams were just fun because you knew you were getting full effort battles from the Rose, Noah, Taj Gibson, all those guys, Jimmy Butler, like, those were guys that you wanted to root for because you knew you were getting a full-ass effort out of them.
It sucks to know that you're putting so much energy into a team that will only be good if they get that lucky again. It sucks.
And listen, you need luck to win championships. You do. But the fact that, like, even when you do get luck and you don't spin it into anything beyond that, like, if Derrick Rose never came through this town, or God forbid you picked Michael Beasley instead back in 08, you would have lost me as a Bulls fan, because that era would have been so putrid. So bad.
We'd be going on almost 30 years since they were, like, relevant if they didn't get that.
Yeah. 312-332-3776. You want to join us? We'll talk some Bears next. And could an offensive lineman be in their future with the ninth pick or a move up or move down? We'll discuss when we come back here on ESPN 1000.
This is Tyler and Shay.
Tyler and Shay. I know you're going to dig this.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
NFL draft coming up on Thursday. We'll have you covered wall to wall all week. And the Chicago Bears, in a draft full of wide receivers, edge rushers, offensive linemen, quarterback, they can fill some significant needs. And I feel like everyone, Shay, has been fixated on, all right, how can they fix this roster with a wide receiver or an edge rusher with that ninth pick, whether they stay at nine, move up, move down, whatever. But the offensive line has started to drum up a lot of interest, whether it's in mock drafts, whether it's some people starting to talk a little bit about a couple of different names that could be linked to the Bears. How are you feeling about the potential for an offensive lineman?
Daniel Jeremiah tweeted earlier this week that the Bears could trade up to 6, get in front of Tennessee, and draft Joe Alt. I've been thinking about this a lot because the way Poles has set this up for himself with the number 1 and number 9 pick, and the way the draft board seems to be shaking out as we're 5 days away, it feels like there's no wrong choice. Like, I don't think if he takes Roma Dunze at 9, I'm not going to wake up and be angry that it wasn't an edge rusher. Mm-hmm. If he trades back and takes an edge rusher, that's my dream scenario.
So yes, just everyone knows, your team edge rusher.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Mm-hmm. Even at 9, take Dallas Turner, take Jared Verse, whatever. I want an edge rusher. I just think that's the best way to build a team. But I'm somebody who believes the most important pieces on a football team in 2024 are your quarterback, the guys protecting him, and the guys rushing the opposing quarterback. That's how I think you build in this modern era of football. Shout out Houston and C.J. Stroud. They didn't really need receivers because the quarterback made receivers. Mm-hmm. That's typically how this goes. So I am team edge rusher, but I won't be mad if it's a receiver. The one scenario that I think would leave a little bit of a sour taste in my mouth is left tackle. And it's not that I think Joe Alt's a bad player, and it's not that I think Braxton Jones is a great player. But somewhere along the line, I think we have lost the plot in how Braxton Jones is being talked about. Because if you tell somebody who wants offensive line that you think Braxton Jones is good enough, they accuse you of saying Braxton Jones is Trent Williams, and they talk about Braxton Jones like he's a turnstile. He ain't a turnstile. I'm not telling you he's an all-pro player. I don't know if he's even a Pro Bowl player. But he's a decent enough left tackle that'll be there. We've seen almost every snap over 2 seasons and can protect in pass pro pretty well. I don't know that that's the position that I need to be replacing with the number 9 pick in the draft right now. That left tackle, especially if he trades up to get Joe Alt, it's the one scenario that I think I would wake up on Friday morning and go, I don't know about that.
And it's not even like I would be upset with, oh, the Bears got Joe Alt. But it is the practice on how you acquired Joe Alt that I would not be a fan of. And I'm with you. Like, and I thought Jeff Mallory made a good point with me the other day that the quarterback can ail some of the deficiencies or kind of expose some of the deficiencies as well of an offensive line. Like Justin Fields, you can create some pressures that are going to go as negative marks against you. You can create, like, if Caleb Williams comes in here and is a see-it, throw-it type of guy, you're not going to have a lot of opportunities to get after the quarterback. If he processes the game quickly, if he makes plays, and sure, he's going to have to extend some plays, no doubt about it. Every quarterback has to do it, but he can extend plays in a smart manner where it doesn't make the offensive line look as bad, then you may have something there. And I think the other thing that people are maybe losing with this draft, because it is such a favorable position to be in, drafting first and ninth, like there's a tweet from Sauce Gardner earlier in the week about how do the Bears have 1-9? Who did they fleece? And it's like, yeah, Ryan Poles did do a great job, and it feels like this is such a big moment and opportunity for the franchise. But I also feel like some Bears fans look at this like it's going to be the last draft that's ever held in the NFL history. Like, you can't get some of these guys next year. You can't get some of these guys in 2026. There will be future drafts, and the Bears have plenty of picks in the war chest moving forward as well.
Yeah.
I feel like some people treat this draft like it's going to be the last one in humankind. And as a result, they have to go out and address offensive line this year. And if they don't, then they'll never have a left tackle. No, that's not the case. This team can still find one in the draft next year, can still find one in free agency next year. Who knows? Maybe they find a surprise cut this year as well after June 1st.
You know, the other thing that's funny is that I think people are doing the same thing at wide receiver. Like, we will never get a third wide receiver if we don't draft one at 9, or we won't have the wide receiver of the future. DJ Moore's 27 years old. DJ Moore's probably going to be around for a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like Keenan Allen, I get, might be a one-year thing. But newsflash, receivers get traded every single offseason. And not like just bums, but all pro receivers get traded every offseason. Keenan Allen just got traded here. Stephon Diggs got traded to Houston.
Mm-hmm. Let's look at the way that the market's sort of shaping out, too. Guess who doesn't have long-term deals right now and might be a little pissed off? Justin Jefferson and CeeDee Lamb.
Yep.
And I'm not, listen.
And by the way, the CeeDee Lamb thing, Jerry Jones is in no hurry to pay any of his guys.
No.
There's a chance Dak gets out of there. There's a chance Micah Parsons gets out of there. Big chance CeeDee Lamb gets out of there. We know he's already aggravated. I'm just saying, like, if you think nine is the be-all, end-all for your future wide receiver, there are other ways to get them.
Mm-hmm. Listen, I'm with you there. I do think, though, listen, I'm still team wide receiver, and I get that guys move around all the time, but I would like a cost-controlled wide receiver because we are seeing these contracts get out of hand. And listen, if you do go out, and let's say you did make the big swing and trade to acquire a CeeDee Lamb, you're going to have to pay him a lot of money.
Of course.
And if there's a time to pay a receiver a lot of money, it is now. It is while you have this much cap space and a rookie quarterback that you don't have to pay through the nose, because if everything goes right, that's the way that things are going to be in 5 years with the Chicago Bears.
My thing with it is, like, the defense is top 10. I think you could make it one of the best units, if not the best unit in football, if you add an edge rusher on the other side of Montez Sweat. You're going to get pressure from both sides of the line with a secondary that we know is really good. You already paid through the nose at linebacker, and you can cost control one of your edge rushing positions. That could be the best defense in the NFL. Wide receiver just feels like a lot of investment in one position that's already deep. And I get that, like, we want to help Caleb Williams as much as possible, but I must have missed where C.J. Stroud had a bunch of first-round picks that he was throwing to. And, like, offensive line, I'm not telling you that Caleb is Patrick Mahomes, but I will offer the example. Mahomes' tackles last year were horrible.
Yeah.
And because he could get the ball out quickly and they pivoted to a little more of a West Coast offense and played horizontal, got the ball to weapons with speed, again, not first-round picks, I just think there's ways to do it on the offensive side where if you have the quarterback, everything else can fall into place. You don't need to overinvest. Think about the Eagles' dream team when they went out and put together all these offensive weapons, and it becomes often too many mouths to feed. You get guys who aren't happy. Like, Cincinnati's a rarity to me, where they have T. Higgins and Jamar Chase and Tyler Boyd. Very few teams
have ever had. They also never had a tight end to feed either.
Correct. Like, C.J. Uzoma is probably the best tight end that they've had. So, I just, you've got two tight ends on the roster who are elite pass catchers. You've got two wide receivers on the roster who are elite pass catchers. I don't know that a pass catcher is where I want to go with my top 10 pick.
But I'd rather do it in the top 10 than take the flyer in the third and fourth round. Because even though there have been receivers that have produced there, this front office has not shown the ability to identify a third or fourth round receiver.
But that, to me, is not an excuse to say we're going to do it in the first round, because how do I know you can identify a first round receiver?
Because if it's in the first round, I think it's more on the player than it would be on the front office. Like, if Roma Dunze turns out to be a bust, we're not looking at Ryan Poles and saying that was a bad pick as much as we are saying, Roma Dunze, you failed, dude.
We did it with Kevin White.
That was injury related, though.
Right, but I'm just making the point. If Ryan Poles picks Roma Dunze and Roma Dunze stinks, not saying that he will, but if that plays out, I'm going to go Roma Dunze stinks and that was a bad pick. I'll do both. Like, if Roma Dunze comes here and he's a third receiver and he catches 45 passes, because let's be honest, DJ Moore and Keenan Allen will bear the brunt of the offense. Adunze catches 45, has a Jackson Smith and Jigba year. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Cool, not great. And but if Jared Verse is somewhere, or Dallas Turner somewhere getting 7 sacks, yeah, I'm going to be pissed.
I won't be pissed because Keenan Allen may not be here next year, and then you grow Roma Dunze into that role. And listen, if there's any receiver room in all football that you want to drop a rookie receiver in, it's the Chicago Bears.
True.
Because you've got two uber professionals and technicians of the position that can teach this guy how to grow. And hopefully, maybe, listen, if you don't, then hopefully they impart that wisdom on Tyler Scott and he becomes something in the league. But
fingers crossed.
312-332-3776. If you want to join us when we come back, though, you are not happy with me.
No, you're a bad friend.
I am a bad friend, apparently.
Yeah.
We'll discuss on the other side. Oh.
This is Tyler and Shay on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Justin Pottinger for producing today's show. We've got a big softball game tomorrow, my friend.
Yeah, I'm back with a vengeance because someone in the studio decided to run around this building telling tales out of school about my poor play.
Now,
Listen, when I was in high school, I played baseball. I was a pitcher and an outfielder. I didn't feel ground balls then. They put me at the hot corner because I had a strong arm. I couldn't throw to first. Just one of those dumb sports things. Yeah. I could pitch, but I could not throw to first base.
What type of softball is this?
16-inch.
That's soft?
Yeah, and it's terrible. Yeah. I get no glove. I got to field this beach ball. I don't even feel baseball ground balls well.
How about a little hand-eye out of you, huh?
Listen, man, I'm not used to this. So tomorrow, I'm playing outfield.
You're playing outfield?
Yeah,
right.
I'm gonna do that.
I will say, it was a cluster, you know what.
Why are there 16 people on a team where 10 people play? Makes no sense.
Yeah, it was tough to get a little action. I think I played like two or three innings in the field. You played what, like two or three?
I played one inning and I got one at bat.
Yeah, I got one at bat too. I'm praying that we have less people. I've already seen we have like a chat. A
lot of thumbs down.
I was
getting excited about that.
Yeah, I was too. And even it was the perfect storm for a disaster of what we were going to experience because of the fact that it was such a nice day. First game of the season. Everyone was showing up. But today or tomorrow, I don't think we're going to have a lot of people show up. We may be actually trying to recruit some bodies tomorrow. Like, Potsy, clear your schedule.
Hey, yeah. Let me know.
Yeah, come play.
Clear your schedule.
I played in college. We played hardball, though, and that was tough, dude.
12-inch?
Dude, that was tough.
No, 12-inch is the best because you get the glove.
No.
Well, the thing
and
is,
you can hit nukes.
Yeah, you hit nukes. That like there's like a home run limit. Like you got to strategize how many dingers you hit.
It's like four home runs and then home runs and out.
Dude, but my first game, completely forgot how to field a fly ball. It was horrible. I had to get some practice reps in. But, hey, if you need a guy, I'm there. I can hit a dinger.
I don't need to play tennis baseball. Yeah.
It's fun.
What is this, middle school gym?
Dude, like, playing infield on hardball, dude, that's scary.
Yeah,
that's why I don't play.
It's fun, man.
No, it's not.
You feel a little powerful. You're in the box, and you know you can't hit a home run anymore, but you can rock at a line drive at the third baseman.
You can rail them.
And I even less want to stand in there and try to field that. But I don't need some guy who's been yelled at by his boss all week long to unleash his anger on me. I don't. I'm sorry. I want no piece of that. That's why I want to play 16-inch.
Yeah, no, I'm a fan of 16. I would never go back to 12-inch.
It's so fun. I love it. It was the only thing I ever played. Like, 16-inch doesn't exist where I grew up. Only 12-inch softball. So all my beer league teams were 12-inch.
Can
it's
you even
the
get
greatest.
The ball in the outfield with 16-inch?
Yeah, you can. Yeah. I mean, there was the one guy that we played against.
Oh, he hit a bomb.
That guy hit it, like, to the parking lot. I didn't think you could hit a ball that far. That team that we played last week, it was a bunch of technicians. You could tell, like,
situational hitters.
They knew how to play, and then they had one just long ball hitter that once we adjusted to him, we got him to fly out and hit a single, like a long single, and we were in the clear from there. The rest of their team wasn't very good. We've got a couple really good players, like our shortstop and our first baseman. They know how to play ball.
I will say, I think it's interesting that you didn't bring up the double play I almost turned when I threw a seed to first base. You only brought up the bad plays.
No, but I will say, you on your hit as well, I didn't realize you were as fast as you were. You're a fast.
Shay's got wheels. Shay has sneaky speed, dude.
Like, he was moving down that first baseline. I was like, oh, I think he's about to get... No.
Sneaky speed. Ball never stood a chance.
Never stood a chance.
I'm a big boy, Potsy, but I can motor.
He can move.
You're fast, not quick. You're fast.
Exactly. That's exactly right. The acceleration, not great, but once I get going, it's like a freight train.
You can't stop him.
That's awesome.
The other thing is, too, when you ran through the bag, you went like halfway down the right field line, too. Yeah.
The White Sox need him.
I can't stop on a dime. I'll die.
Yeah. All right. We'll report back. I think I put a chip on your shoulder, though.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm playing angry tomorrow.
This is called motivation.
Sometimes you need good motivation.
You need some motivators in your life every once in a while, and that's what I'm here for you for. All right. That's going to do it for us. The CDGA Golf Show is next here on ESPN 1000. We'll talk to you next week.
This is Tyler and Shay on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.